Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Donald Trump's big, beautiful tax cuts bill passed the final hurdle in the United States Congress last night. The bill delivers tax breaks that Donald Trump promised in his 2024 election campaign and has sparked intense debate in the US. Donald Trump plans a 4th of July bill signing ceremony expected to happen around 10 p.m. Irish time. Well, Simon Marks is chief correspondent with Feature Story News and joins me on the line for more. Simon, thank you for being with us. This was the one, the bill that broke up the romance between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. But it's a significant victory now for the president and his domestic agenda, isn't it?
Oh, it's an absolutely massive victory for Donald Trump, albeit a narrow one. Remember that in the US Senate, it took Vice President J.D. Vance to cast the deciding vote because the Senate was completely split down the middle and there were three Republican holdouts who would not back President Trump's bill. And in the House of Representatives last night, the final vote was 218 to 214, mostly along party lines in Donald Trump's favour. So it's a narrow win on the numbers, but it's a massive win politically because this monumental piece of legislation, it's 900 pages under normal pre-Trump circumstances. It would have all been broken up into a whole series of bite-sized bits of legislation for members of the House and the Senate to debate. It is all-encompassing and it is absolutely Donald Trump's major legislative effort to raise taxes, to cut taxes, to cut public spending, to raise the possibility of economic stimulus to offset the possible impacts of that trade war and the tariffs that you were talking about there with Michael O'Leary.
Now, he is going to have a bit of a spectacle around the signing of this bill, isn't he, later today? I said he's going to do it at 10 o'clock our time, but there'll be fighter jets flying over the White House. What do we know about that ceremony?
Yes, a flypast by fighter jets and other US Air Force planes over the White House. It's going to take place at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And remember that this is July the 4th. It's Independence Day. And Donald Trump made it absolutely apparent to recalcitrant Republicans earlier in the week that he wanted this bill on his desk on the Independence Day holiday to sign because he believes that the mere fact that he's signing this on America's 149th birthday is very symbolic and underscores the scale of his victory. There will, however, I think, be many Republican lawmakers who have backed this very controversial legislation wondering whether by the time America's 250th birthday rolls around 1 year from now, they might be rueing their decision to back the president's plan.
All right, well, stay with us, Simon, because I want to bring in Cormac Kelleher now, who's a partner in international tax with Forvis Mazars, who's on the line. Cormac, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So you've picked up on one of the tax incentives in Donald Trump's bill, and you say this might just deter multinationals from investing in Ireland. Explain why.
Yes, I suppose, as Simon mentioned there, I suppose the tax cuts that President Trump were trying to achieve, he's trying to offset that by economic stimulus. And one of the measures that is in the bill now is basically to give 100% tax depreciation for businesses when they spend on their businesses. So that could be the building of a new factory. It could be new equipment. And I said that is a huge cash flow issue then for businesses when they're looking at making a decision in terms of do they make a decision or make an investment at home in the US, or do they kind of factor in if they go abroad to Ireland, for example. So we, for example, here, if you were, say, buying new equipment or you're doing a factory, you'd be saying you're getting your tax depreciation over 8 years for equipment or 25 years, maybe, if it's a factory.
And they're going to be doing it over 1 year now in the States.
12 months.
Ooh,
12
okay.
months. So it's a huge, huge cash flow saving benefit to businesses at a US level.
So what should we have a look at here? Should we replicate that, are you suggesting?
I'm not saying we should replicate it, because I think in the sense that if you replicate it, we're going to go to a race to the bottom, and we're not saying we want to compete with the US. I think, though, what we should do is look at it, at the US provisions from a learning perspective, and see what we could possibly do at a targeted level. And when I say targeted, I mean, could we do something like this for the SME sector? Because again, one of the things we're getting in the media at the moment is our over-reliance from a corporation tax perspective on the large multinationals. And we're saying we're not broadening our tax base and supporting the SMEs. So maybe we could do something and saying, right, at the smaller companies, instead of getting your tax write-off over 8 years or 25 years, maybe you get it over 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supporting those companies to push in money and maybe focus on the R&D and building up. I think it was the European Commission said that we needed to build a resilient, innovation-driven domestic economy.
Right.
Maybe that's what we need to do.
Now, we had a discussion on the programme earlier in the week about America being a cold place, or chilly at least, for Irish investment. I mean, do you think businesses should be focusing their efforts, Cormac, on selling into our own EU market or perhaps looking further east?
Well, look, realistically, we're always going to have a certain amount of business going into the US. OK, that's always going to happen. But in terms of, I suppose, what we're seeing with clients at the moment, they are starting to question about, you know, should they maybe focus closer to home? And we're seeing clients saying maybe setting up and selling into Germany, into France. We're seeing kind of businesses raising questions about how do I set up in China? So there is kind of businesses starting to look in the other direction. They're not saying no completely to the US, but the level of questions that you're seeing now is changing.
Mm-hmm. But we do have some multinationals already deciding to invest in the United States with new factories, new plants and so on. I mean, some of those in the past, prior to Donald Trump's second iteration in the White House, would have built arguably those factories and plants in Ireland.
Quite possibly. And I suppose it's kind of maybe interesting to look at maybe the type of businesses that are setting up that are there. Because I think one of the things that we possibly need to compete on, if we're again trying to compete, maybe we can't compete on tax, we need to compete on other measures.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you look at, say, the pharmaceutical sector, there's statistics that have come out over the years to say that Irish production, pharmaceutical production facilities were very, very good at quality control. So the level and quality of the drugs that come out in terms of obsolescence rates and all the rest are very low. So that's all factors that those multinationals consider. So it's again back to the stuff that we've been touting over the years, education, quality, all those other benefits. Maybe we need to double down on them even more.
Cormac, thank you so much. Cormac Kelleher there from Mazars, from I don't have the name of the company in front of me right now. I'll bring it to you in a second. But I want to come back, Simon, to you. I want to ask you briefly about Ukraine, because there was a conversation between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin yesterday, which the US president said afterwards he was left feeling disappointed about the prospect of a peace deal. More talks expected today between Donald Trump and the Ukrainian president. But Russia launched a record number of drones overnight. And that's remarkable because it comes after that conversation with Donald Trump.
Yes, and of course, Claire, that conversation came after the Pentagon announced earlier in the week that it was suspending some weapons shipments to Ukraine because they claim that American supplies are depleted and they need to restore them. I mean, Donald Trump has now taken the position for 3 straight months that he is not happy. That's the phrase he uses with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Remember back in April, he said that he was beginning to suspect that the Kremlin leader was tapping him along. Well, the toying with Donald Trump by Vladimir Putin continued in that hour-long phone call yesterday. The Kremlin readout suggested that from Vladimir Putin's perspective, the call was a triumph. Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump that Russia will not step back from its goals in Ukraine. They insisted in the call, the Russians, that they would not give up on eliminating all the root causes of the conflict, by which, of course, they mean Ukrainian democracy and sovereignty. And the Russian leader appears to have tried to divert Donald Trump's attention by promising all sorts of joint economic partnerships between the United States and Russia mm-hmm. as soon as the conflict is over. But after 3 months of Donald Trump saying he's not happy with the Kremlin leader, it is very unclear what he is willing to do. He has softened efforts by Republicans Republicans in the Senate to bring about fresh sanctions against Russia. And Vladimir Putin at this point seems to be serenely confident that he can carry on playing Donald Trump like a violin.
Simon, thank you so much. Simon Marks from Feature Story News, and Cormac Kelleher there, who's an international tax partner with Forvis Mazars.